Good evening, friends. Welcome to our Maundy Thursday Communion Service and Tenebrae Meditation. The name Maundy Thursday derives from the Latin Mandatum Novum, meaning new commandment. Tonight is the night that Jesus, prior to his betrayal and arrest, ate a final meal with his disciples, washed their feet, gave them a new commandment to love each other as he had loved them. Tenebrae is Latin for shadows. And during the Tenebrae meditation that will close our time together this evening, the light fades towards darkness. The diminishing light symbolizes the declining loyalty of the disciples following their final meal together, and the waning of the light of the world as Jesus departed from it. There are seven candles, which are extinguished by our two readers, Roger and Shirley, following each reading. After the final candle is extinguished, when all is dark, a bell mournfully tolls 33 times, representing the age of Christ at his death according to tradition. At this point, you may remain in your chair for a moment in prayer before departing in silence. Thus, tonight, we begin the great journey of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. The journey from the supper table to the cross. The journey from the cross to Easter dawn. We are followers in his way, exploring his truth and encountering his life. This is a time for watching. This is a time for prayer. And we give ourselves freely to the demands of these great days, confident that those who die in Christ will surely live with him. I'm going to invite you to cast your eyes to the screen. We have some responsive prayers for this evening's gathering. I'd ask you to respond with the bold text in yellow. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." On this day, Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself into the hands of those who would slay him. On this night, Christ gathered with his disciples in the upper room. On this night, Christ took a towel and washed his disciples' feet, giving us an example that we should do to others as he has done for us. On this night, Christ our Lord gave us his holy feast. We who eat this bread and drink this cup may remember and proclaim his sacrifice and share in his resurrection. Friends, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Can we invite you to join with us as we remain seated tonight and sing our opening song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
Glory and grace. Oh. soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more have dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Hallelujah. We're going to enter into a time of prayers of confession. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and again at the appropriate time I ask you to respond together with the bold font. How is it people will recognize us as followers of Jesus? Quite simply, by how we love one another. Friends, let us confess then how we have not loved as Christ has loved us. Heavenly Father, you call us to be your voices in this world, and yet we stay silent. You call us to be your hands in this world, and yet we keep them hidden. You call us to be your feet in this world, and yet we go our own way. Gracious God, when we meet those who are doubting and say nothing, forgive us. When we meet those who need your touch and do nothing, forgive us. When we are called to take up our cross and carry nothing, forgive us. Loving Lord, breathe life into these bones, we pray. Bring freedom to these lives that we might declare with heart and soul and voice, that you are our Lord and our God. Amen. Friends, Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And having loved his own who were in the world, he'd loved them to the end. Friends, this is the good news of Jesus that is for us. In Jesus Christ, we are loved and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. I might just kill that mood if that's all right. We're going to set the scene by a reading from Luke chapter 22 before the Tenebrae section closes our service. It is set up in this way, from Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through to 13. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them where no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of that house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. As we approach the communion table, I'm going to invite you to sing, Give Me Jesus.
Oh, when I come to die,
come to die. Give me Jesus. Oh, 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 you can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Oh, just give me Jesus.
Amen. Before we embark on partaking in the Last Supper this evening, I want you to know that all are welcome here. This is an open table. All people who are wanting to come and share in this great feast are welcome at God's table, for it is a celebration of God's graciousness to us all. Please note that our elements this evening are also gluten-free. All who wish to share in God's amazing grace are invited to join us here at Christ's table. If you feel led, please come forward at the appropriate time. You'll be handed a piece of bread and an individual cup of wine, cup of juice. Take them and eat them before returning to your seat in remembrance of Christ's atoning sacrifice for you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a joyous feast. This is a joyous feast for all who wish to break free from the shadow of sin and death. This is a holy meal shared with our brothers and sisters in Christ. For all those who recognize their dire need for God's redeeming grace. Here at this table, Christ meets you and calls you God's own. So friends, come, not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come, not because of any goodness of your own, on your own part, but because you know that you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord but a little and would like to love Him more. Come simply because He loves you, because He gave Himself for you. Friends, may the peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's pray. Loving Lord, we bring you our prayers of thanks as we raise a cup of freedom in your name. For you have made a covenant with us in the blood of Christ, and you have broken us free from the grip of death. In your creative love, you've brought the world to birth, and from the first you loved all who live in it. You heard the cries of your suffering people and protected them with the blood of the Passover lamb as you struck down those who oppressed them. You sent your Son Jesus as our teacher and Lord, and gave all things into His hands, laying aside His power. He gave Himself to us in humble service and taught us to love one another as He had loved us. When the hour for His departure came, He was betrayed by a friend and His body was broken on the cross. And with His outpoured blood, you've marked out those who will follow where He has gone into the promised land of resurrection life. So, Father, pour out your Holy Spirit afresh upon ourselves, upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may truly be for us the body and the blood of Christ, His life living in and through us. And so, Father, being confident of your gracious provision, in all times, in all circumstances, so too we are confident to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus sat at the table with his friends. He took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." So too we read that when supper had finished, he took the cup. And again he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins." He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, the bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Friends, come when you are ready. I invite you to come down this aisle. You will be served by John and myself. You can eat and drink immediately before returning to your seat up this aisle so that we don't have too much congestion. Friends, come. All is prepared. pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for satisfying our hungry hearts this evening with this holy meal shared in the Spirit with Jesus, your Son, our Lord. As we continue this story and then head out into the shadow of night this evening, we pray that you might strengthen us, steel us for what is to come. Be at work in us, we pray, as we continue your work in the world, worshipping, witnessing, and serving others that they too may come out of the darkness and into the light and life of faith in Jesus. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we approach our Tenebrae meditation, we're going to sing the first five verses of Were You There? It's a Negro spiritual, a very simple melody, and yet very powerful, very profound.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? To tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they pierced him in the side? There when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Oh, sometimes sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike him with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered him, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns."
Peter's denial and Jesus' trial. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, and when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked at him closely and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I'm not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you'll disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of Almighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips."
Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be a Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been waiting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressed him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies.
Jesus is condemned. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand, who released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
crucifixion of Jesus. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if the people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one of him," which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Jesus dies. It was now about noon, and darkness had come over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
Jesus is buried. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one of which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience with the commandment.